Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hi, villains, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast on a bit of a somber night, a night whereby I think energy was lacking, and it culminated in a 3-1 defeat to West Ham on this Wednesday night, where I think really it's fair to say that we were just outdone. We met our match today in a West Ham team that were marshalled, and something that I suppose we spoke about prior to the game as well. It was a well marshalled David Moyes team, but I'm here with Paddy again, and we're going to try and make sense of this. I don't know if we will. I don't know if we make sense of anything really. If we ever make sense whenever we're on a podcast, to be honest with you, but we'll try our best to make sense of this. It's 11:30 at night, so we'll see how we go, but. Paddy, is there any point in asking me how you're feeling after that game?
I'm not completely distraught after it now, to be honest.
Yeah.
This is nearing the end of a really tough run of games for us. You know, we struggled tonight, you know, and it was a battle of the coaches. I think David Moyes won. You know, it is what it is. We're in a lot better place than we were this time last year, so you know it's hard to find positives. You know, we were beaten fair and square. You know, we go back to Burnley a week ago. I'll sleep well tonight knowing that we were just outclassed. Yeah. You know, there's nothing bad about it. It's just the way it is. We'll regroup. We'll go again for Arsenal on Sunday. But, you know, we're here to pick the bones over it, so we'll try. as hard as that seems. We can see the 3 goals. We don't do that very often. We did it last Wednesday. We did it again this week. Just a little a tweet that I read tonight from at Gaz Oaks. We've got 8 points from 10 weekday matches. And we got 24 from our weekend games.
Mm.
So these weekday matches aren't suiting us. So sooner the better European football kicks in again.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll go again. We will get back to it. You know, hopefully we can pull something out of the bag on Saturday against a deflated Arsenal team, which there will be. And then we'll get our rest next week, I would imagine. we won't see a player on the training ground after recovery Sunday to maybe Wednesday or Thursday, because that's what they need now. They need they need a bit of rest. You can see that they're leggy. Obviously, the ones that aren't completely taken part will be in, and they'll be training, and that's the way it works in these days. But, you know, I don't know what more I can say about the performance as such. We'll pick the bones out of it now, but, you know, we were beaten 3-1. We deserved it. It's not the end of the world. We'll move on.
I'm going to read, and this is something I don't usually do, unless there's some massive breaking news. But what I'm going to read is, I'm going to read Dean Smith's synopsis of it, because, to be honest with you, I can't disagree with anything that he says here. So he says, there were 3 horrendous goals we gave away. We didn't play well. The better team won in the night. We weren't our usual selves, nor did we play with the same tempo we had been in previous games. We gave 3 awful goals away, and you can't do that at this level. Listen, we've taken a short goal kick, gone forward to Ollie Watkins. It's broken down, and a midfield runner has broken off the back of us and scored. Then we concede a goal from a counter-attack when it's our free kick. In fact, Matty Target does well to get himself out of that situation. But we're left 3-1. It's Sunday League football. You wouldn't do that, and we've got punished for it. We got ourselves back in the game with a ball down the side for Ollie. It was a good ball from Jack, another assist, and it looked like we were most likely going to get an equaliser. But again, the ball's broken down again in the centre circle, and we have gone through, and they've scored a poor third goal. He then goes on to talk about Martinez, to say that he will feel he could have done better, but that's for I'll start again. He'll feel he could do better. See, this is the problem when you're half illiterate like me and you start trying to read things out on a podcast. He'll feel he could do better at that, that's for sure, but I'm certainly not going to moan about my goalkeeper making mistakes when he's kept 10 clean sheets this season. And has been one of our players so far. He's earned the right to make a mistake. Then he went on to talk about fatigue, and he was asked whether it was a factor, and he said, it's not so much fatigue, I don't think. I'm never one to use that excuse. We have more days rest going into this game than we will do for Saturday's game. We just didn't have our usual tempo about us today. I just don't think we had a zip about us tonight. I don't know why they were brighter than us. We made a change at halftime to liven us up. We did that, but we gave really poor goals away tonight. We can't afford to do that at this level. And you know what?
Is that it? Will we wrap it up?
I was just about to say, like, I know we've had 10-minute tirades, but will we start a 5-minute fuck it session? You know, and just say, that's all you can really say. But I think he summed it up 100% the way I see it. Just didn't get out there. We didn't zip. The word he said, zip, there wasn't a zip off the ground tonight for anything we did. Look, not sticking on him or anything like this, but I think the passage of play that really sums up tonight for us is, I think we were down 1-0 at the time, and the ball came, we were in their attacking third, and Ross Barkley got 4 bites of the cherry to make a forward pass, and he didn't find a player with any of the 4, like 4 bites of the cherry in the space of like an 8-second period. I don't know, it just kept on coming back to him, and to try and make a pass, and he missed every single pass, didn't find a Villa player with any pass. No, look, not having a go at him, I think that's just synonymous. That's just one that sticks in my mind as well. There was another piece as well that stuck in my mind, whereby we got a lovely ball down to Ollie Watkins, picked it up out on our left-hand side, held it up for a good period of time out there, you know, played cat and mouse with the defender, took it on down the line, went in around the, tried to go in around him and gave away a corner, and the defender gave away a corner. But my big piece here was he must have held the ball up for 4, 5, 6 seconds, and there was nobody coming through the centre. Now, once again, do I think that's fatigue? I don't know. It's all to do with starting positions. It's all to do with, like, that's where Ollie Watkins should have been, was in the centre anyway. So maybe the question could be asked of, why was he out in the wing? And then the next question is, well, if he's out in the wing, then why isn't there somebody taking his position in the centre? So there's counter question to counter answer and all that. But what came from that was a corner that dropped at Douglas Luiz's feet, and he sliced it, and it went 15 yards wide. I think it was just such a tame shot. It just dropped. Actually, no, I don't think it went wide. I think it just trickled. It was just an absolute slice. It trickled into Fabianski's arms. And look, there's mad statistics in the game of football. And when I heard that Fabianski has never lost Aston Villa in 9 games, he's played against Aston Villa, I thought that was actually quite mad. I thought it was an actual crazy statistic.
Yeah, you get crazy stuff like that. It's just part of the game. Look, Watkins had a chance with a header.
He hit the outside of the post in the
first half. We had Barkley had one just dragged it wide. All of these things are telling points. But I thought we were tired. I thought Moyes got his tactics spot on. He doubled up on Grealish. He played two right backs. I'm just laughing all night at Glenn Hoddle, how this guy was England manager for so long when he can't count that there's five people at the back when we have the ball, when he's telling us there's a four at the back. You know, it's just pointless. You know, we often say that there's better men than us that will dissect this game. This was an England manager at one stage, and he can't count how many players are at the back when we get the ball. They were well set out. They kept us at bay for long periods of game. We got a goal, probably out of nothing, let's be honest. Very much. If you look back at the three goals, there were three balls played to Ollie Watkins that were either miscontrolled or didn't win. Ball broke and three goals. All three goals went towards Ollie Watkins, and he just either didn't deal with it or mistouched it or whatever. It's just three counter-attacking goals caught us. Tactics won. Disappointed, yes, but not pissed off. It's just we'll learn from it. I know we'll learn from it. I thought we were okay in the first half. Second half, I expected more when Trezeguet came on. We saw Jack switch over, you know, to avoid those two right backs who hemmed us in. Matty Target found it very hard to get forward. They just kind of stifled us throughout the whole game. It was so, so difficult to get into. And it's actually a really, really hard game to pick apart because everything was kind of samey as we went along. I don't know where you'd go about picking a man of the match. You know, do we pick a West Ham player? You know, it's very hard to pick a Villa player worthy of man of the match. It's tough. It's one of those ones I think we just have to take on the chin and, you know, roll on Saturday and hopefully we can draw a line under it and pick a result out of Arsenal, because it's going to be another tough game. And I think we're crying out for the few days after Arsenal just to get that rest under our belt, to get a bit of R&R. I'd like to say that we're going to get some sunshine on our back or relax or whatever, but that's not going to be the case during lockdown. So, you know, it is what it is. We lost. We lost at a better side. We were tactically, they were better than us. I slagged David Moyes before the match playing two right backs. I thought it was very negative, but they got the results they wanted. So this is a typical David Moyes performance. Grind out a result. Doesn't matter how you get it. Get ahead, stay ahead. They won 3-1. That's it.
I'm going to make a statement here just from what I can see from the early look at some statistics. And the two right backs, while you were looking at the game, the two right backs, they stopped Jack Grealish. They stopped actually Matty Target. This is the same thing that happened. That Southampton tried to do with Ward-Prowse over there. It stopped Matty Target from bombing forward and creating the overlap. Except we didn't have the option of playing the ball in over, and we didn't have the option of getting the ball into Jack's feet. So that was fantastic for what they did there from that point of view. But that was only 50% of the job. Big thing about Jack Grealish is Jack Grealish can come inside on his right foot, come inside, play a ball across, maybe ghost in around the penalty area. He couldn't do that. He did it once or twice in the first half, couldn't do it. So for me, the actual one of the standout players was Declan Rice and was Souček, those two guys in there. Obviously, look, Souček got a goal and so on. He just seems to be everywhere these days. He's riding the crest of a wave. He's literally like he's just one of the bargain boys of the last 2 years in the Premier League, the way things are going for him at the moment on current form. But the fact that I think Jack Grealish could beat two right backs down a wing, no problem, if he has the option of coming inside. but he had no option. You're coming inside, you're up against two block walls. And looking at the starting position of Declan Rice specifically, I suppose, and to a lesser degree Suchek, they were very much to play there, that they just got into that position to stop him from drifting in, because Jack usually kind of comes in, you call it maybe about 8 yards, so he's right on the touchline, but he's maybe about 8 yards proud of the penalty area, but out near the touchline. If this makes sense, I can visualize where it is in my head, and that's when he usually cuts inside, or he goes down the line, or Matt Taggart bombs on behind him to go down. But if he couldn't cut inside, Matt Taggart couldn't bomb down the wing, and it's very similar. And look, we've been caught in two bad games that we've played this year, and the two times that we've played poorly, teams have executed a tactic brilliantly, but teams have copied them the next day. So I'm going to bring you guys back to Leeds. Leeds, we've spoken about it umpteen times, tens of times. I think I've spoken about it. They basically loaded the ball to one side of the field, crossed it to Jack Harrison, and literally had him one on one with Matty Cash and gave him fits. Just a bad performance from Aston Villa that day. Then what happened was Brighton did the exact same thing to us the next game, or maybe two games later. Brighton did the exact same thing to us, and Danny Welbeck got his goal from that. Now, when we look at what Southampton did by corralling Jack Grealish into that corner for a small period, the start of the game, they couldn't do it. Ariel Romeo and, I can't remember who the other guy was, Diallo, they were no match for Grealish when he was coming inside, and they didn't take up the same positions because of their formation and setup. But Rice and Suchek could just stand inside there, and they could be there all day long. And as I mentioned probably on the preview game, is these guys really defended with six and attacked with four. And sometimes the four that they attacked with included Suchek, and Ryan Fredericks would stay back. So it was very much a simple case of defend with six, attack with four, make sure that Grealish can't cut inside, make sure that we can't get the overlap down the left-hand side. And it really did stifle us, because we had nothing again on the right-hand side. We had nothing. There was nothing. Until Grealish went out there and created the goal, yes. But in regular time, I would say. Hmm.
But look, on any given day, that this won't work, what Moyes did today. Grealish turned someone inside out after 10 minutes and we're 1-0 up. You know, it's just... It worked. Oh, yeah. It worked tonight. It, you know, others have tried it, albeit we didn't recognise there was two full backs there or whatever, but you often see when we break there'll be five or six behind the ball easily. I'm not like Glenn Hoddle, I can count how many players are behind the ball. Sorry, that just really fucking bugged me tonight. Every time we broke there was five of them there, and he's gone the back four. Mm-hmm. He's gone, does he need glasses, you know? Five of them there. Every time we break, there's five of them there. And they marshalled us very well. They were very well organised. Yeah, maybe he's trying to give him a bit of credit to say that they marshalled us with four at the back. I have no idea what he's getting at. Yeah. But look.
I don't think he was getting at anything. I think he was just talking. You know, which is funny. Look, Jesus. I called Richard O'Kelly Richard O'Keefe for fucking four episodes in a row. I'm sure somebody's given it, like people be giving out about me. But I know what you're saying. I think it's fair enough. And even Glenn Hoddle would say that maybe Glenn Hoddle knows that he probably wouldn't have it in him if he was called.
You're just giving ammunition to the guys who don't know anything and they're keyboard warriors on social media. They think we couldn't break down a four of West Ham, but it wasn't a four. You know, that's what annoyed me the most.
Who cares about social media?
No, but like we know in Ireland, Eamon Dunphy did that for years.
Oh, yeah.
And his opinion was gospel.
And Dunphy was funny, though. He managed to stay alive for 64 years, baby.
He managed to get a job at RTE for nearly 30 years, baby.
Yeah, he was. I know what you're saying. I just try to bring a small bit of a.
It's just frustrating because that's what people are looking at. That's what people take as gospel, and you know you got to look at the bigger picture. They were very hard to break down. They were really
excellent.
Well, it's one of those games where, you know, you're going for 45 minutes, and it's looking like it could go either way, but once you score, once they score, there's no way back into it, no matter how hard you try.
And they're two big blocks. Like, as I say, they're not as tall a team as Aston Villa, would you believe, on average. But they're, we call it their back four, are Soufal, I think, is touching 6 foot. The two boys in the middle, Dawson and Ogbena, are big boys. And then the two boys in front of them are two big boys as well. So, like, they've got grunt, you know, when they needed it. And look, that's, we said it before, that's a staple of David Moyes' play. You go back to the games he had, or the teams he had with Gravesen, Lee Carsley, even Phil Neville. He turned Phil Neville into a very good defensive midfielder at Everton. He had Marouane Fellaini there as well. You know, he needs to have those workhorses in front of his back four. He's always had it. Absolutely always had it. Didn't have it with Sunderland. Certainly didn't have it in Sociedad. He brought in, I'm trying to think, was it he that brought in Morgan Schneiderlin in for United? I can't remember. Actually, I don't think it was. I think it might have been. But he didn't have the horses to run his scheme at United. And look, let's be honest, you know, he wasn't making any signings at United. You know, he was coming in to prove himself, and there was people going to make signings for him. I'm not trying to say that David Moyes has always been the second coming of God, but he's got, what I'm trying to say here is that if you give a carpenter the right tools, he'll make you a fairly decent table, you know, and that's what David Moyes is doing here. He's got the right tools that suit him. Look, these days happen. We're beaten by a better team, as you say. Absolutely beaten by a better team.
Don't get me wrong. David Moyes is a great, great coach. He proved it with Everton. He was on a hiding to nothing coming in after Alex Ferguson. So,
100%.
That's life. I'm by no means bitter about tonight. There's nothing I can say to make this any better, other than we don't have a midweek match until we play Crystal Palace on the 11th of May, barring any cup games. And you can't underestimate how important that is. You know, that's huge for a club like us, who's feeding off 14 to 16 players that can come on and change a game, because that realistically is all that Dean Smith is using. You know, we had that starting 11 today, then you've got Bertie come on, Sanson, he possibly bring on Ramsey, Keenan Davis, and at that point you're up to 16 players. You know, that's what we are.
Look, I think, Paddy, I think I've no problem eating a small bit of humble pie. I don't fully think it was down to fatigue, because I am, as I say, I will live and die by numbers, statistics, data-driven stuff. And I'm sure the sports scientists would not have let players out in the field if they thought that they were in trouble of stuff like that. Because all these players, even when they're resting, their lactic acid and stuff like that would be tested. I've done a small bit of reading up into it. So now I can actually talk about what they've done and what they do. But all that little stuff is looked at. There's even Brentford, where Dean Smith came from. Brentford were big pioneers and all this. They track the player's sleep, and if players don't have the requisite amount of sleep, they tailor the training session around them from a fatigue point of view, from a muscle stress point of view, and everything like that. Like, it's a science in itself. You think when Rocky fought against Ivan Drago, Dolph Lundgren's character, and he was hooked up to all the machines and they were measuring him. These guys are measured to, like, there's literally everything is measured, you know, the hydration levels, everything is measured, I would imagine, or at least it's going that way pretty soon. Because we just hired a guy yesterday and his name just completely escapes me, and I won't be able to scroll back, but I hired him from Copenhagen. He was in a role in Copenhagen, which was the head of player development or something along those lines. Now, there's only two other clubs in the league that have this this title, this place, this department, should I say. One is Chelsea, one is Man City. So look, call a spade a shovel. Chelsea have gotten a lot of physical athletes, proper athletes through their youth systems. And I watched a video of Ben Smith, who is the guy who has their who has that position with Chelsea, and he rattled off numbers, and there was something like of 110 of an intake of 110 kids but I think it was like between 2008 and 2012, 89 of them were still playing professional football. Like, that's a massive number. That's a huge number that people that are still playing professional football at that period of time. But anyway, what it does is what they look at the quantitative and the qualitative side of things. So obviously they try to marry the traditional methods with the sports science methods, with the how many sprints per game and all this kind of stuff, how many meters are covered while sprinting per game. And we saw that Greg Evans had a brilliant article out during the week about it in The Athletic too. So like, the club is evolving. And I've just gone on one of my almost customary tangents here now at the moment, but I'm not fully sure that I buy into it, that it's fatigue. I think maybe more so mental fatigue than it is actually physical fatigue. And I think, to be honest with you, look, this team, even in the championship, may have never played four games in 10 days before. So look, it's going to come back and bite you at some stage. And look, hold my hands up. I still can understand why Dean Smith didn't make substitutions. But at the same time, I can't 100% turn around and say if he made substitutions early against Southampton, we would have beat West Ham, because I just don't think that that's true.
Do I trust that we have more than 16 players to come in and do it? No, we don't. I think we're ahead of the plan. You know, I'm repeating myself here. I do it in every podcast. You know, I'm happy with where we're at. I'm not happy with losing games against West Ham. I'm happy with where we're at. Just throw your mind to back where we were this time last year after playing half our games. We were in complete shit. We were scraping. We were scraping to just try and keep our head afloat. We managed to do it in the end. We're completely ahead of, you know, I think we've only got to win two more games and there's absolutely no chance of us being relegated. We're fine. I think, I know this is a horrible thing to admit at this stage, but I think the opportunity of European football is gone.
Possibly, you can't say that.
Possibly not a bad thing. I think this is the year that we regroup, we build, we get the nucleus of what we want, and then in the summer we'll push on and buy a few more players. Yeah. It's tough times, you know. There's no fans there. There's no money coming in. You know, we spoke on the last podcast about being sustainable. We're completely sustainable. We're doing a fantastic job in recruitment. Our recruitment in the summer, you know, hard to say about Sanson tonight. It's good to see him getting on and getting a few minutes. Be interesting to see, you know, how limited his chances are over the next few weeks and how he proves himself in training. But look, I've got complete faith in the team that's there. It's a blip. I go back to that tweet from Gaz Oaks. It makes complete sense that we're struggling midweek. It's just one of those things. We've struggled since the COVID thing popped up. We've lost our last three games, Man City, Burnley last week, and again tonight. So, you know, if we go again and beat Arsenal on Saturday, tonight will be forgotten about very quickly. So hopefully that's the case. I truly believe that we could have a good pop off Arsenal. I think we're a better side than them at the moment. I think taking out the two players now that they've lost, David Luiz probably isn't a big loss. I don't rate him at all. And Bernd Leno, of course, you know, obviously think highly of him, that he's better than Martinez or they wouldn't let him go. So, you know, onwards to Saturday. It's not going to be easy, but I think we should get a result out of it of some sort. And I think tonight will be forgotten about very quickly.
Some stats on the game, Paddy. Surprising. I think some of them are surprising. We had by far more touches of the ball than the West Ham team. We had 660 touches of the ball in comparison to their 537. We had by far more passes of the ball, 480 to 376. Realistically, what happened was we passed the ball up. We passed it. We got touches. We passed it up to their box, and we couldn't break them down because, as I mentioned, big, big boys in the middle of the, in the middle of the park couldn't get into the middle of the park to get anything going. And you could see what Ross Barkley. Ross Barkley couldn't really get anything going. He was just outnumbered and outmuscled inside there. Look, you look fucking. You kind of look like you're running in treacle, or you're running running in treacle is the phrase. When you're doing that, you're just running up and down the field and you're kind of going, right, I need a bit of a hand inside here, or I just can't break down these two guys. And like, let's call it, Declan Rice is a pretty good, is a very good defensive midfielder who can put his foot in the ball and move it around the place, spread around as well. And Thomas Souček, like, is, as I mentioned before, he's a secret sauce that a team signs, and he's just found the right team for him. And like, he's 9 goals this season, 9 goals as a quotation mark defensive midfielder. You know, he's just that David Moyes type of guy. Just all effort, requisite amount of skill, a nuisance and a nightmare at the back post. And look, he's got his just desserts. They had 20 shots. We'd only got 9. I think that's probably, look, I know you have to shoot the score and so on, but yeah, they had 20 shots. We had 9. After that, to be honest with you, it was pretty even statistic wise. You know, we were able to pass the ball around. We were able to get the ball, but the second we got to within 10 yards of our box, we were stifled hugely.
Absolutely.
There you go. Yeah. That's what happened.
The story of the game. Yeah. It doesn't matter how many touches of the ball. It's just a measure of what they did. They only had 2 players pressing against their 4 or 5 who were trying to pass the ball around and break the ball into the box. And it just wasn't happening. There were a couple of times we did breach. Watkins got through on one. I think Trezeguet got through on one. We just, our first touch was off. Didn't happen. It's just one of those days. I'm like, you know, it's seldom that I'm lost for words. It's just a little bit easier to accept than the badness of what's gone behind the Man City stuff, and you know, losing by VAR. I'm absolutely fine with losing by tactics. It's just the way it is.
And look, beaten by the better team. We said it against Burnley. You know, we got beaten by a team. We have no excuses other than to say we didn't show up tonight. That's like, and you can say, well, there's no substitutions made or whatever and stuff like that. And that's fine, but it's still not an excuse. It's not an excuse is fucking fellow was 25 yards offside. He came back, he tackled Tyrone Mings, and then they scored a goal. That's an excuse, so that's what and look, do you know what, guys?
People play a lot I know the game has changed so much in the 40 years since, but we won the league with 14 players. You know, there's a lot of managers out there that'd be very happy to have 14 players that they can call on, that can do a job like we have for the last 6 or 8 months, whatever it is. I'm happy with where we are. You know, let's finish this on a positive. We're only halfway plus one game through the season. We're a couple of games away from being safe. We're fine this season. It would be nice to say that we push on and, you know, go for Europe and absolutely push the boat out and spend loads of money on players. But, you know, we've got to be sustainable. We've got to build this the right way. And I believe we're going the right way. I prefer nights like tonight and last Wednesday not to happen. I'm blaming my approach to the game in that I went and got Lancashire pies last Wednesday and I went and got fish and chips as I would have got on the way to West Ham tonight.
You got jelly deals today, yeah, haven't you?
So it's not happening anymore. So in future, we go to normal dinner on match night and just enjoy the game. And hopefully that's the end of the hoodoo from my lockdown ways of just having a bit of fun on match night.
Well, that's it. Last I want to hear this game.
Yeah.
Until I bring it up again. because I'm allowed to do what I want. I'm allowed to do what I want. lads, I want to say thanks to everybody who put a screenshot in underneath the Southampton review podcast thingy on Twitter. We were running a competition to win a hat. I am going to literally do... I am starting at the start. I should have some sort of number generator here, but essentially what I'm going to do is I'm going to scroll down with my eyes closed, and I am trying to find out where my phone is first so that I can actually press it and scroll. And I'm going, this is great for the podcast, for those of you that aren't here. So I'm going to scroll down. Paddy's the independent adjudicator. I have my eyes closed. I'm looking away. I'm scrolling down. I'm scrolling up. I'm scrolling down. I'm scrolling up. And I've landed on... I've landed on Ben Anderson. Ben Anderson at Ben Anderson. At Ben Anderson NFL, actually. Sorry, I needed to go into your Twitter bio there. Ben, you've got a fantastic picture there of the old 1994 Mueller badge with the line and
not a Cleveland Browns fan with the NFL reference.
No, he's not. He's a Minnesota Vikings fan. It looks by his Viking by oh, his yeah. by his bio.
You don't need the independent adjudicator to call foul on this one. So no,
there it is, guys. There's Ben. Yeah. Listen, thanks to everybody. We're going to run another one or two competitions over the next couple of days, and I'm going to pop them up on Twitter, so keep an eye out for them. We've got a new shipment of hats, and I want to give away a few of them. So Ben, I'm going to reach out to you via DM. If I don't reach out to you by the time you've heard this podcast, reach out to me first, and we'll get you sorted out with a hat. he probably is. Yeah. No, guys, listen, thanks to everybody. Look, it's good, nice to get that little bit of interaction and so on. As I say, it's thanks so much to everybody for following the podcast and for listening. I really mean it when I say that it blows my mind every time I look and see how many listens the podcast gets, because we make sense half of the time and we make nonsense the other half of the time. So it's...
I have to second that. For once, I'm going to put in there, because sometimes we record a podcast and I kind of scratch my head when it's all over going, what did we actually say? And it's those podcasts that we get the most reaction to that we just, shoot the breeze, have the crack, talk shite, whatever you call it. we get the reaction to it, and it's great. It's great to get DMs or retweets and somebody having the crack with us. So, if we've brought a bit of release in this horrible times, by all means, send us a DM. And if you need to chat, we're here too. Send us a message, have a chat. It's not easy for any of us. We're all in the same boat. I head off every morning on my walk and listen to some form of Villa content. And by the way, it's great to have so many different podcasts that we can all listen to. Whatever your go-to podcast is, there's a great group of people there that are more than willing to chat to you. And if you're suffering and if you're in trouble, by all means, send us a DM, talk to us. We'll all get through to get this together, and up the Villa. That's all we're here for.
Absolutely. I second it. Look, it's it was actually a really good, really, really funny one, guys. Guy Derek, I hope you're listening to the podcast, reached out to me, and he asked me to do a talk for some transition year students in his college. And I did it, and I absolutely found it was brilliant. And he asked me the question. He said, what has lockdown done for you? Or what has podcasting during lockdown done for you? And I said, do you know what it's done? It's given me an outlet to talk, because I haven't been able to talk to people about stuff. And, I could be here and I could be talking to my better half, and I know she doesn't want to talk about football, she'll best will in the world, she'll turn around, she'll pretend that she's interested in it and stuff. But to talk to somebody who's as passionate about the sport as you, Paddy, or even whatever. I've been so lucky to be on so many other podcasts and talk to people as well. It just makes a big difference, It's like that. It's like going out to the pub for that one or two pints and then coming home again. It's just been great. And we've gotten very dark, and we've gotten very, not very dark, but we've gotten very kind of deep there. But it's important to say that if anybody out there feels that we've kept you company during lockdown so far, believe me, you guys have kept us company more, because the fact that we've been jumping on to do this is because you guys are listening to the podcast, and I just want to thank you so much for all of that.
It's not dark at all. We're all going through this together.
Yeah, I didn't mean dark when I said it. I kind of meant deep more so than dark. But
let's be honest, I know, speaking personally for myself, this has been the worst lockdown of them all.
Yep.
I don't know how severe it is in the UK. I don't know what the restrictions are like. we're all trying to get through our own little battle together. And for me, this has been a great release. You know, you said it after lockdown, Jurgen Klopp's quote was, football is the most important thing of the least important things.
Yeah.
You know, so to be able to come on here and have so many people listen to us and interact with us, you know, it's been good for us too. It's definitely been good for me. I'm speaking for myself, obviously. So it's, by all means, send us a message if you need to chat, you know. DM your mobile number anytime, no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, look, guys, we're going to leave it at that. Jack Grealish, man of the match. I don't even know who deserves it, but I've just called it Jack Grealish, your Lakers sports man of the match. Get in contact via DM if you want. I'll give you a hat as well, Jack Grealish, if you want one too. But as I say, look, we've kind of said it all there. Thanks so much to everybody for listening. Paddy's on at Villa Paddy. I'm on at Love McGraw Pod. Onwards towards Arsenal at the weekend. I don't think tonight should turn into a pity party for Aston Villa. Look, we're just beaten by the better team. And you're going to have days like that when you're still a team in transition and you're a team that is building on some of the great things that they've done. But we're not the finished article yet. As I say, onwards towards Arsenal, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.